has instructed. I want to share with you on that theme, parenting by grace, as I speak on the power of positive parenting. I want you to understand, beloved, that five major things are important in your life. If you succeed in those five areas, you have truly succeeded. And if you fail in those areas, you are a true failure. And one of them is your family. I'll share the other four tomorrow. One of them is your family life. In fact, it is at the center. Therefore, if you are a single person, before you get married, close one eye in prayer, open the other one in looking. Look very well. If they tell you that, Maria, love is blind, I agree. Love may be blind, but marriage is the eye opener. Therefore, look very well. Because it will determine everything. It may even determine where you will spend eternity. Because there is no institution on earth where your faith will be tried and put under pressure like the institution of marriage. When you get married, you move from patience to endurance. From endurance to long suffering. And if you do not have the capacity and the tenacity and the strength when kids come in, the story may be sour. It may be. In the confine of the time that I have tonight, let's go on this journey. And I'm beginning by looking at a story in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 21, from verse number 1. 2 Samuel 21, from verse number 1. The Bible says, reading from King James's version, "Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord," I like the, you know, I'm an old SU, so I like my King James's version. "And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them," now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. "And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah." Go ahead. "Wherefore, David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all 7 together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days in the beginning of barley harvest." Verse 10, the last verse. "And Rizpah, the daughter of Ajah, the daughter of Aya, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night." Powerful scripture. Pathetic scripture. Amazing situation. Let's go on this journey. And let's glean from that scripture. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is this. It was not the children's fault. Something happened. probably before they were born. But they had to pay for it. In the African culture, that's what we call generational curses. And many children today are suffering from it. These children did not contribute to it. Maybe they were not born. Maybe they didn't even know anything about this story. But some people rose up one day and said, we want to punish daddy. But the only way we can get to dad is to hit the children. In case you do not understand spiritual warfare, please wake up. It is real. We are not devil conscious, but we are not stupid. Not to know that there is spiritual warfare going on over our kids. Right from the womb. And I'm standing on Revelation chapter number 12 to affirm that. The Bible tells us of a woman who was pregnant and she was going to deliver. And before her baby arrived, the devil was there waiting for the arrival of the baby. In the Yoruba culture, where I come from, there some people are called Bolanle, meaning when they arrived, they met wealth at home. But some people are Bogunle. They met warfare. Some of us sitting here tonight, including me, are probably the first generation of blessed people, thoroughly blessed people, or truly blessed people. Our fathers, maybe they died poor. My father was a Baptist man. I thank God he got saved. But some of us, we had to break through some jinx, break through some generational curses, break through some things. What killed the grandfather, that killed the mother, what killed the stepmother, what killed the aunt, and all that. So we see the story here. And in case you are not aware, in the book of Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse 21, this is one of the scriptures that terrify me a lot. Isaiah 14, 21, look at it. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers. So that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill, please go back, the face of the world with cities. It's in the Bible. What is a slaughter? Where they kill people. Prepare slaughter for the children because of the iniquity of their fathers. If you're a pastor's wife here, please listen to me very, very carefully. If church members pray once, you need to pray 10 times. Particularly if you are not sure of the way your husband is living. Because a lot of things happen in counseling rooms. If you are in ministry, you need to pray. Some people, like my husband will say, are not happy that you are happy. And they will do anything. They can't get you, so they want to get at your children. You cannot afford to be sleeping and snoring. Prepare slaughter for the children because of the iniquity of their father. But the devil is a liar. We're dealing with that tonight. So that's the first thing we noticed in that story. It wasn't those children's fault, but their heads were asked for. The second thing I want to bring out from that scripture. The king said, I will give them. There are policies, kingmakers, people in authority that are frustrating children. Some of them are bullies in class. Some of them are teachers. Some of them are lecturers. A very popular lady, if I mention her name, all of you here will know her, told me some time ago, she came visiting and she said to me, Ma, would you believe that it was my choir director that disvirgined me? She came for choir rehearsal. The mother trusted, it's church. The choir leader is very godly. And I assure those of you that are parents here today, no Sunday school can help you take care of your children. Your child is like a plain sheet of paper. You write what you like. Your mother cannot help you write. Your pastor cannot help you write. The teachers in school cannot help you write. It is your responsibility to write. Sometimes when your kid says, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to go to school, stop beating that child. Listen to the child. Who knows? One lady said to me, she noticed that her five-year-old daughter was itching in her private part. So she took her to the doctor. You won't believe this. She got the rudest shock of her life. The driver that takes her to school every day while driving puts his finger in that girl's private part. And messed that girl's destiny. And some of you are so busy. Your child is even saying, I don't want to go to school. You won't even listen. You go and carry this, carry that. I'm going to beat you. You this, you that. Children have feelings. Can you please listen? Maybe there's a bully in school. Maybe there's something going on. Can you listen to that child? When our kids were young, I put my career on hold. And I did not take invitations to preach. I knew I was anointed. I knew God had a purpose for me. But I chose. I did not have one house help in my life when I was raising my kids. That may not be applicable now. My last born is 28. That may not be applicable now. I understand. But please. Please, mothers, wake up. A lot is going on. And parents are singing in the choir. Parents are preaching and winning everywhere. One great man of God, I heard, Billy Graham, that one day he was interviewed and he was asked, what is your greatest regret? He said, when I was a young evangelist, I thought I could win the whole world. Now I am old and the whole world is not won. I wish I had spent more time with my family. Some of you fathers, you are winning everywhere. Winning in your career. Winning, winning, winning everywhere. But you are nowhere. I'm going to tell you four kinds of parents that we have in our world very shortly. Let me just be done with this scripture. We need to wake up. It's high time we started listening to our children. Policies. Some of you don't. You've never seen men. You've never helped your children with take-home assignments. Go to your mommy. Go to your mommy. Go to your mommy. To even detect that they are teaching them rubbish. That a particular course is now compulsory in school. You are not even aware. When our kids were young, Thursday evening was our family night. My husband went nowhere. I went nowhere. That was the time our children would sit with us and ask us any question. Any. From sex to virginity to this to that. We didn't share the Bible on Thursday evenings. And we're born again. Some of you, you are lost in the book of Habakkuk. Your children are being destroyed. Because you just want to preach. That was why I started in my opening remark. If your Christianity does not work at home, don't bother to export it. Do not bother to export it. We've had enough of preachers. Let's begin to live the Bible way. We need to create time. Policies. People in authority are messing up with our kids. And some of us don't even know. You let your children sleep out. Let them attend parties. Say, so. The Holy Ghost is nudging you and telling you something is wrong. You silence him. Let's wake up. The third thing I noticed from that scripture that I read to you in 2 Samuel chapter 21 is that the Bible says Mephibosheth was spared. That means no matter how poor a village is, there will still be moneylenders. No matter how bad the world may become, there will still be remnants that are not tampered with. Your child can still be married as a virgin. Male and female. Your children can still be godly. Everybody was killed except Mephibosheth. There can still be an exemption if you can pay the price. It doesn't matter what the world has become. It doesn't matter what social media says about it. God's word stands forever. Sometimes it may look as if you are wrong because you see so much. Let me tell you this. Let me pause and tell you this. Everything that Christianity represents is being attacked on social media. Christianity is let me call it religion of honor. I fear for the next generation. And the Bible says, he that curseth father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. People that we revere, people that we honor, are being used as toothpick just because somebody has data. Honor. Christianity has honor. It is being pulled down. And you are wondering, what's going on? What's going on in this generation? Christianity believes that marriage is honorable. It's so bad now that those of us that are married are wondering, are we the normal or the abnormal? Because you hear baby mama, daddy mama, and you're wondering, what's the meaning? So it's not looking abnormal to be married with dignity. And you see it so much, it's looking like it's the right thing. And the book of Hebrews tells us that marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. All mongers and adulterers, God will judge. Your children can be exempted. They can be exempted. They don't have to die the way other children die. If you will learn to befriend them. I'll get there very soon. The fourth thing I'd like to bring out from that scripture that we read in 2 Samuel 21. Is that incident happened in the beginning of barley harvest. That's crucial. The woman called Rizpah, while her mates were harvesting grandchildren, harvesting promotion, harvesting children's graduation, she was busy mourning her children. The devil is a bad devil, very bad. I remember one young man told us, as I lead women, mothers around the world to pray for their kids. One young man was macheted. He attended University of Ondo State University Akungba. When he got admitted, or when he was admitted into that university, he joined the cult. He didn't get born again. He just decided all by himself to leave. He just said, my mother sells whatever to train me. I should not be doing. So he left. I wish he was born again. I wish he gave his heart to Jesus, because the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and is safe. He just left. And the cult boys came together and said, let's kill him. One of them said, if we kill him now in part one, it won't pain his mother. Let's wait. Part two, let's kill him. No, let's wait. The day he finished his four-year course, dropped his pen, they macheted him and finished him. That is what you call the junction of glory. The devil did not, these Gibeonites did not kill these children when everybody was laboring. They waited till the beginning of barley harvest. So let's kill them. What does that teach us? It may not show now, but people that don't take care of their children, people that don't invest into their children, time will tell. And my father used to tell me, it is in the evening of a person's life that person will realize whether he had children or not. In the evening. So whatever opportunity you have to invest into your children now, please do, because of the beginning of harvest. When you can no longer do anything. You can no longer. The fifth thing I want to mention from that scripture. Rizpah did for her children the things they should have done for her. The Bible says she laid them in state. And she was now driving away butts. They were supposed to lie her in state. She was the one that laid those children in state. I want to pray for you mothers in particular. While your mates are harvesting, you will not be mourning. I was in the U.S. when Kavanaugh, some of you know the story, that justice, when he was to be appointed, and there was so much noise all around the world. One professor came up and said, when I was a teenager, Kavanaugh raped me. Some of you read the story or you watch it on CNN. I am a women's advocate. I love women. I inspire women. We fight a lot. I pump them to be what God has ordained them to be. I encourage them not to sit down as full-time housewives. Because this 21st century, it won't pay them. They may stone me, but it doesn't matter. It's the truth. It's the truth. No man wants a liability around him. You won't have honor if as a woman, all you do is have sex and cook. And give birth to children. There's no way you can have value. There's no way. You don't need to like me, but it doesn't matter. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's not every wife that the man can tell. You are packing out today. When the man remembers who you are. So I encourage women. I inspire women. I celebrate them. Some lazy ones don't like me. But it doesn't matter. The seed has been sown. I had to pray for that man because where was that professor when that man was nothing? How come that was when he was going to become a justice? The peak of his career. That's what we call the junction of glory. And I want to pray for parents today. At the junction of your children's glory, God will silence opposing voices. It is a huge prayer I just prayed for you. If Reverend today wants to help Pastor Tinu, and Reverend talks to me and says, I feel led to help Pastor Tinu. And I say to him, I've not spoken much, but I've spoken. Or I say, be careful. It's either he will cancel the help or he will reduce it. I want to pray another prayer for you. May your helper and your children's helpers not be angry with you. May your enemies not get to your helpers before you. Every zebra that is planning against your children before they are David's, we bury them alive. Let your amen be very loud. Take your seat. Beloved, let me tell you the truth. Nobody is young forever. In your children's lives, between you and your children, there are only three seasons. The first season, you are in charge. Sit down. Yes, daddy. Even when the child does not want to sit down. Come here. Yes, mommy. You are in charge. It is a season. Enjoy it. Because it will soon end. The second season in your child's life, the child is in charge. The child is in charge. He doesn't need to take permission from you. Hello, mommy. I forgot to tell you that I'm on my way to China. Now, hey, Akamu. Yes, mom, yes. You should even be grateful that he told you. How many of you called the village to take permission to be here tonight? And then you step out and you notice that you missed your mother's call. Hello, mom. Ah, mo de tin pe e latara mo wa church ni. She cannot beat you. She cannot say, because it is a season. The third season is the one I fear most. The child is in charge of his life and your life. The way you manage the first season will determine how he will manage the last season. Because when that child gets married, he's going to tell your story to the spouse. Ah, mommy, me. Margaret Thatcher. So the wife is battle ready for you. That season, the child is in charge of his life and in charge of your life. You come visiting. I want pounded yam. Mommy, we cannot pound any yam tonight. Ebalema je ebanode. You're sick. Please take me to you. Say, we've not collected our salary. We'll take you to. Okay. They will even carry you, put you in the car. Okay. Oh, okay. What can you do? You're watching Africa Match. They say they want to watch CNN. They flip it up. More than fair with mommy. News come out to Trump first. So. It's their house. If you treat them well, then they may consider honoring you. Let me tell you the truth. There are three kinds of children in the world. If you have boys, don't rejoice yet that you have children. You better listen before you start clapping. If you have girls, don't rejoice yet that you have children. The third category, kind children. You can have 14 children and none of them is kind. And you can have only one and is a kind child. May God give you kind children, oh. May envious relations not turn your children's heart away from you. 16 years running, I have an outreach for widows, for these, you know, I bless them and all that. I remember when we first started, I began with only elderly people. I started when I was 40. And I remember the first one, my husband ministered. And he was apologizing to those people. One man was there about 99. The man was so... And one woman, it was time for vote of thanks. The woman stood up and said, I sold my gold. I sold this. I sold that to send my son to the U.S. 4 years running. That boy is married now. He has not called me once. The wife says, I am a witch. That's why I prayed for you that your children will become kind children. Because a time comes when you can no longer run around. You think I'll be running around preaching forever? No. No. At 56, there was a time when I could jump 200 times a day. Now it has reduced. That's the reality of life. Before you could carry anything. I'll be sharing some things with you tomorrow. Some of you that are newly married, you better enjoy sex now. The time is coming when generator will need to share that among. It's life. I got it. High five. That guy. It's the reality of life. Now your husband wants to touch you. You are complaining. Every time you are complaining, yeah. You better enjoy now. Malebo Shantarabat. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning from verse 10. Ephesians 6, beginning from verse 10. Makes us understand that spiritual warfare is real. As I looked at the scriptures, and I want to spend these few minutes, maybe like 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, talking to my colleagues in ministry. Please, you cannot die for the church. The only person that could die for the church has died for the church. My husband is writing a book titled, Every Pastor is a Polygamist. That book is deep. The church is his bride. His wife is his bride. Sometimes, the little money at home, the two brides need. He doesn't know what to do. Every pastor. So you need wisdom to balance it.